Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. With less than a week to go, candidates in La Crosse's mayoral race are making their final rounds, clarifying their positions and asking voters to support them in next Tuesday's election. One stop along the way this week for candidates Tim Cabot and Doug Farmer was a public debate sponsored by several departments at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, the League of Women Voters, and local members of the news media, including Wisconsin Public Radio. In this hour, we'll hear most of that debate. It took place on the UW-La Crosse campus this past Monday evening, where the candidates took questions from the audience and panelists. The moderator, UW political science professor Joe Heim.
Running for the top job, it's a four-year term for the mayor of La Crosse. On my right is Tim Cabot, executive director of Downtown Main Street, Inc., former city planner for the city of La Crosse, city of Madison, and Sauk County. On my left is his challenger, Doug Farmer, 26-year veteran of the city council of La Crosse, also vice president of the Park Bank, former member of the La Crosse County Board, former member of the La Crosse School District, and Western Technical College Board. So as you can tell, this just scratches the surface of the backgrounds of these two individuals. They both come to us with a lot of expertise and knowledge. I'd also like to introduce our distinguished panelist of journalists. From Wisconsin Public Radio, reporter Maureen McCollum. From WKBT News 8, Lou Hillman. Representing the League of Women Voters, Jane Claycamp, who I think is the president of the group, right? Am I right? Okay. From La Crosse Tribune, editor Chris Hardy. Reporter from the Racket is Jordan Wellman. And from WIZM radio station, Mitch Reynolds. By flip of the coin, Mr. Cabot is going to go first, and we'll get right into it. Mr. Cabot.
Well, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I do want to also thank UW-La Crosse, excuse me, and the media sponsors for putting on this this debate, and also for Joe Heim for moderating. As was stated, I am currently the director of Downtown Main Street. I served as the director there for the last several years, and that's the nonprofit group that works to promote and revitalize downtown La Crosse. And we've had a lot of great momentum, especially these last several years, a lot of great success stories helping new businesses and current businesses expand in our downtown. Before that, I served as the city's manager of the economic development program. So I worked with small business loans, the industrial parks, and in our neighborhood, serving as a planner for the Lower North Side and Depot Neighbors. In all, I have approximately over 20 years of experience at the local government level, working with cities and counties, working hard every day to try to make those communities better places to live and work. My goals for mayor are threefold. They're very simple. I want to strengthen our neighborhoods, including our housing stock and addressing some of our crime issues. I want to work with our local businesses to build better relationships, and I want to bring new leadership and a new perspective to City Hall in the mayor's office, working together with the council, with the departments, and with the citizens to help grow and improve our city. Again, I want to be your next mayor because I love this city. I love La Crosse. The Cabots have been here for many generations. I was born in La Crosse. I grew up in the area. I graduated from UW-La Crosse, and I'm very proud of that. And I look forward to working together to solve the challenges because I've knocked on doors in just about every neighborhood here in this community, and east or west, Alozi Boulevard, north side, south side, we share one thing. We love our city, and we want it to grow and improve, and I want to do that by working together.
Thank you.
Thank you. What Tim didn't tell you is we have an opening regimen for these debates, and this is about the 10th debate. And he always calls the coin in the air. And after the first eight debates, where it was always tails and he called heads, he decided he would call tails. And I just want to report to you, 10 debates, 10 times tails, consistently. What are the odds? What are the odds? Anyway, we do have two good candidates for mayor. I'm the man who thinks Tim Cabot's done a great job at downtown Main Street and hope we find a way to he can continue his efforts there. Now, I've spent 26 years on your city council and then 10 years prior to that on the county board and a host of other things that Joe mentioned. And I first want to thank you. Some of you made that possible. Some of you were in my districts that elected me. And I want just to say that I enjoyed every moment of those 26 years. I freely confess that God wired me differently. And for some reason, I enjoy endless public hearings. I enjoy phone calls on the kitchen phone saying whether it was the garbage or the zoning or business operating illegally next door. I have enjoyed every bit of it. And if the voters see fit to allow me to continue, I understand that the mayor's office, the number one reason people vote for the mayor is not the bond rating, which I have experience in, not the budget, I have experience there. The number one reason everybody votes for the mayor, they don't want a problem with City Hall, but they want to know if they do, they have one last person to go to try to solve it. And I've enjoyed that more than anything in the last 26 years. And if it happens on April 2nd that Mr. Cabot continues downtown, I look forward to assisting people as they come to the mayor's office.
Okay, thank you. The first question comes from the audience. This will go to Mr. Cabot. One of the largest constituencies in the city of La Crosse collectively are the students, faculty, and staff of UW-La Crosse, Viterbo University, and Western Technical College. What can the mayor do to foster a more positive relationship between the city hall and these groups?
Well, that is a great question, and it is true. I mean, if you think about our population of about 51,000 people in the city, there's over, 15,000 of those are students that attend one of those great institutions of higher learning. So I really feel as mayor, it all starts with the relationships that you build, and it takes time to do that. It's not something that you can change overnight, but I am a big believer in bringing people together, listening, treating each other with respect. And again, I think as mayor, you set the tone. You're the vocal leader that represents the city government, and you really have to work every day to promote this city, to reach out to the institutions and to reach out to the students and the faculty and others to address the problems or the challenges that we face and to work together. And I really feel, again, as mayor, I've got experience. I do that downtown, and I'm planning on staying downtown too, just a little bit farther north on La Crosse Street rather than 5th and Main. But I do want to be able to, again, bring diverse groups of people together, and that's what I do right now, working with large and small businesses, the people who work downtown, who live downtown, who care about our community. It's a very diverse group, and you've got to bring those together every day to get those challenges and those things done, and that's what I do, and that's what I would look to do in the mayor's office.
Thank you.
Well, many years ago, when there was not a student rep on the city council, and it was all people a lot like Tim and myself, that group that Joe just mentioned went unrepresented. And then there was that period of time where that district where the dorms are went students sometimes and then went back to long-term residents in that community. Nothing has done more for that communication from the university and possibly Viterbo through them than the fact that that student, and it's usually a student that comes from that district, is elected. In fact, it's on the ballot this year, and the incumbent has an opponent. And nothing has done more for the communication, I think, to City Hall than that person and the fact that they had to knock on doors to get there. It establishes a communication that every other council member, because that's how we all get there, can relate to. And it has been very impressive. And also, as it has become more consistently a quote-unquote student seat, it has become it's even gotten better. And so it is, and the representation has gotten better. So that has been, in answer to your question, Joe, that has been a huge improvement right there in the years that I've been there, because that person comes with an awful lot of credibility.
Thank you. I should have mentioned the responses are going to be 2 minutes, but you'd both have a chance for a 30-second rebuttal if you so desire. Okay, first question from the panel, Maureen McCollum.
A group of mayors met with federal lawmakers last week pushing for more Mississippi River legislation in Washington, D.C. The privately funded Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative has members in three Wisconsin cities, including La Crosse. What services in your mind as a major river issue, and what can a mayor really do?
Mr. Farmer. I think in that case, the mayor is the principal spokesperson for the city of La Crosse, whether you want to call it salesperson or cheerleader or whatever. And that's what it's also the phrase bully pulpit is used. The power to be able to put an idea before people consistently, every time you speak, is an extraordinary power, and that is what the mayor can do on that issue. We forget there are only three rivers in this world that everybody knows where they are, and there's the Amazon, the Nile, and the Mississippi, and there's only one that Mark Twain wrote about, and that's the river that has an international reputation. I have ridden across that river with foreign exchange students and watched their reaction when they learned they were crossing the Mississippi. We take it for granted. We take it so for granted because it's right there and it's always been right there. But as one who wasn't raised here in this community, I can tell you worldwide it's there. And the first time you see it, you remember it. And that's the bully pulpit we have.
Mr. Cabot?
Well, I think besides the transportation and shipping issues, obviously, that the river brings, it is a huge and vital natural resource that we have. I mean, as Mr. Farmer said, it is one of those three rivers that we all have heard about, whether we're, you know, depending on, no matter where we're from. And people talk poetically and with just great appreciation of this great river that's in our backyard. We need to do more to promote the river itself. I do think when you're looking at opportunities for public recreation, for public access to the river, that's definitely an issue that we need to be promoting as a city. You look at our redevelopment projects that have happened through the course of the last 20 years. The goal has always been to try to open up more access to that river. And we've done a good job. We need to keep doing that, though, because there are still places in the city, in our area, where you don't have as great of river access as you should. You think about, again, the fact that it's the National Wildlife Refuge and it's the Mississippi Flyway that brings just, again, a huge amounts of wildlife and birds coming up through here. That can be a huge economic draw for our community because bird watchers and people who like to take advantage of the silent sports are folks that have disposable income that can spend money on those things. And I really feel as mayor, again, we need to get out front of that. We need to be promoting La Crosse as a place for outdoor recreation. It can become a mecca, and it's all with the river as the foundation. And again, some of those other issues, whether it's, you know, flood control, transportation, our shipping, we want to make sure that all those things have the attention that they need. But I would agree that the mayor, I would say that the mayor, again, is the person, he's the spokesperson, the leader who brings attention to those issues, and that's what I would do as mayor of La Crosse.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cavan. Next question goes to Mr. Cavan. Comes from Lou Hillman, WKBT.
Do either of you support the city implementing a playbook when it comes to economic incentives for businesses looking to build or expand in La Crosse? And where do you personally draw the line when it comes to taxpayer dollars going to companies?
Yes, I would be definitely in favor of having guidelines or a playbook in place. I do feel that puts the city in a position of strength when it comes to negotiate. We have seen over the past several years, especially, a lot of deals, if you will, that had no standards in place. And the city, it was viewed at the time that the city was giving away too much or providing too much of an incentive to get private investment. And that criticism, I think, in some cases was probably justified because the city had no standards, we had no guidelines, we didn't know necessarily what exactly should be the right incentive. I feel very strongly that there should be incentives, and in fact, when I was in City Hall back in 2004, I was the lead staff person along with another person who drafted the first round of incentives, or drafted the first round of guidelines for those incentives that tried to put some limits in place, tried to have a city position that said, here's our tax increment financing or our loan programs, here are the, you know, what the city can do, and here are the guidelines that we want in place to negotiate these deals. Unfortunately, at the time, the city council in 2004, of which Mr. Farmer was a member, decided that it wasn't a priority or they didn't feel that those guidelines were something that the city should be looking at. And so those guidelines got kicked down the road. They've been on and off for discussion for many, many years. I'm glad to see that the city council now again is taking up the issue of those guidelines. And, I'm hoping that we will have some guidelines in place. Of course, they can't be set in stone. You know, things change, developments and new projects come along every day, and you've got to still have flexibility. But without any guidelines in place, it's been very difficult to negotiate deals because each deal is different. And, the development community, they understand what's going on. And so it becomes very difficult to negotiate those deals.
Thank you. Mr. Farmer.
Thank you. I'm not as optimistic as Mr. Cabot. City Hall is inherently a political place. Any place that you have to get 8 votes to have your way is going to be inherently a political place. I've been there for all kinds of guidelines. I've spent a long time on many committees designing guidelines. And the guidelines are only good until they're in somebody's way. And then this is the exception where these guidelines don't apply and they're set aside. You can't lose sight that City Hall is inherently political. I'm sorry for that. It is. Now, I have always, on TIF districts, had the guideline that the number one ought to be, there ought to be an assessment guarantee. But on occasion, we get TIFs proposed to us that there isn't even an assessment guarantee. But each council member, and this is where you have, you can't just make it a formula. You have to elect people who are going to be looking for specific things, because it's that personal discipline that's going to protect the integrity of the process. The guidelines get set aside very quickly. Now, the TIF districts are the only tool the state gives us. At very best, it's a break even for the taxpayer, at very best. Now, I voted against the Quick Trip TIF, and it saddened me to do so, because I've known the Zitlows for 40 years. Quick Trip's a good corporate citizen, and lots of good people work there. But I didn't see a ripple effect that I personally look for on TIFs. I want to see something more than just that, because if it's just that, it's barely a break even for the taxpayer, if at all. They're lucky if it is. I'd like to see some additional ripple effect, and that's what I look for.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer. Next question comes from Jane Klinkamp, League of Women Voters.
Acknowledging the fact that the electorate voted against a city administrator, are there any positive aspects of an administrator that could be incorporated into your role as mayor?
Now, the paradox here is I graduated with my degree in public administration, and Tim graduated with a degree in business administration. So by training, I should be in favor of a city administrator, and I obviously, through my education, know much about that. There is a possibility. I always said I would support the Racine model, which basically the city administrator that was proposed for us a year ago could only be dismissed upon a 75% vote of the council. As you can guess, that's rather unattainable. And so you lost any kind of accountability. The Racine model, the city administrator has all kinds of qualifications they have to be met, so it isn't just a patronage appointment, somebody with a public administration degree, I suppose, but it serves at the pleasure of the mayor. And at LADCO, a year ago, when we spoke at LADCO, Steve O'Malley was my counterpart in that debate, I indicated, and the Racine mayor was there, that that was a model that would work, sort of a chief of staff position. I also, though, I feel that with both my public administration degree, years in business, all that time on city council, if we're going to do that, I would hope to be the bridge, bringing the knowledge base and the experience base to the mayor's position, so it would function while we can have that deliberate discussion.
Thank you.
Well, again, the voters of La Crosse have spoken about this issue, and they've sent a pretty clear message that they are opposed to a city administrator. I have listened, I've heard that message, and so I would be opposed to a city administrator position. I do feel that I, possess, again, the administrative and management abilities to operate and manage the city's operations. I mean, that's basically what my 20-plus years of experience and training have led up to this point. And so I feel strongly that, I mean, that's what a city administrator does. They manage operations. They have that background and that education and experience to run that operation. And I feel like I possess those abilities, and that's why I'm running for mayor. I do also, though, I'm glad to see Mr. Farmer is talking now about, supporting a city administrator if it reports to the mayor, because I think that's a little bit different than what we've heard at some of the other debates. I mean, he's voices opposition to any city administrator, but I'm glad to hear him talking about, or I guess I'm just hearing that he's talking about the fact that he would support an administrator if it reported to the mayor. So that's maybe a little bit different, but as far as I'm concerned, I listened to the will of the voters, and they've spoken on that issue.
I'm going to take my 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
The Tribune guest editorial from a year ago prior to the referendum, paragraph 2, I indicate I'll support the Racine model back then, so.
Okay, thank you. Next question comes from Chris Hardy, La Crosse Tribune.
What have you discovered about yourself and the city that you didn't know when you started this campaign?
I'm first, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Congratulations.
That you really can, operate on about 4 hours sleep with a lot of coffee. I mean, I think that's one thing that I've definitely learned, that in running a campaign like this, it's my very first run for office. The experience has been great. I mean, it's been very positive. I've enjoyed tremendously the face-to-face and one-on-one connections to voters that I have experienced knocking on doors. As I mentioned earlier, I've knocked on doors, I think, in every neighborhood or every ward of the city. And so I've you know, I've really appreciated that time, because in events like this, whether they're debates or forums, or we've done a number of neighborhood meet and greets where, you know, I guess I've just learned about myself that, you know, or I should say learned about the city that there is just a great momentum here in this city. People are positive. People are hopeful for the future. They want to see a great city get even better. I mean, that's the thing that I guess I've taken from when I've knocked on doors, because you would think that when you knock on doors, you would hear, okay, you know, taxes are too high and we've got too many fees and, you know, some of the problems. And I have heard that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have heard that. But overwhelmingly, the things that I've heard from the people in La Crosse is just, we want the mayor, we want the council, we want the city government to work. We're tired of reading these stories in the newspaper about, you know, negotiations taking 2 years, or, you know, city employees being escorted out of the building and no end in sight as far as what happened. And they're tired of those kinds of issues. They want the mayor, they want the council to get together and work together to solve the problems. So that's really what I would take from this campaign. It's been just hugely positive. I've enjoyed every minute of it, except for the weather. The weather's been the one thing that's been a little challenging, but we're all in the same boat. And that what I've learned from the voters is that people are really positive and hopeful for a better city tomorrow.
Thank you. Mr. Farmer?
Well, a year ago, when the city administrator referendum was occurring, I obviously argued for an elected mayor, had that guest editorial, and I argued that elections were important, and they are. I didn't expect 1 year later to be demonstrating that they are important. And I never cease to be amazed, even going door to door, what you can learn just about that neighborhood, or the one I always cite. Some on the far north side, there's a two-block street called Camp Street. I told the Tribune reporter, there's a story there. Go get it. I want to know how it got its name. But you learn. You learn something almost every door you knock on, whether they're people or home or not, because there's a story right there at the doorstep. And maybe I'm too intuitive or romantic, but I feel I learn something every time there. And then come the debates. And every so often you get a question that you aren't really 100% prepared for, and you go, well, I got to think about that one, all right? The knowledge base improves then. I'm referring to Marcia's question. Yeah, the knowledge base improves. And then we get these questionnaires. We get, and I haven't been able to respond to all the questionnaires. One asked about a fire utility. I don't think that's permitted by state statute, but isn't that a heck of an idea? Okay, so the process works. And then do you all think you'd be here if this was a city administrator talking? No, you're here because there's a choice. That's important, too. On a personal note, I learned the other day that I've lost 20 pounds in this campaign. Okay, and my wife says don't get cocky. When I'm no longer going door to door and I'm closer to the refrigerator, she's sure I'll correct the situation.
Thank you. Next question comes from Jordan Wellman. Racket.
As mayor of La Crosse, how will you work to bring more students into your administration?
I get that one first.
Yeah.
I think because of the, and I'm going back to that previous question where we discussed the, what sometimes is called the student representative, which is really a disservice because that representative represents that district, which happens to have several dorms in it. I got to get you to come to more council meetings so you can see the interaction. That is very impressive. Okay, there is a formal conduit, and the conduit is that established by law, and the respect that seat has gained over the years. You know, initially when it was just a student, then we'd go back to more traditional representation. It was like, we're just going to wait this student out. It's just a part-time job for beer money. All right, a horrible stereotype. But now, and especially in this one where she is running for re-election, I mean, it creates all kinds of credibility, and it's really been an improvement in the process. The inevitable question that follows this when I speak is, well, when does Viterbo get theirs? Well, they're slowly but surely increasing their numbers, and I suspect that day will come, and will be interesting to watch the interaction there, too.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer. Mr. Cabot?
I will invite them. I think that's one of the things. We've got so many great issues and committees and opportunities for people to get involved in not only shaping the government but shaping our city. I will, you know, as mayor, promote that idea of getting the students and getting the people involved. And so I will ask them and invite them openly, you know, and making an effort actually to reach out to the student government and the students in all the campuses to be part of, you know, again, just the public policy in action. Because again, we've had a number of interns through this university who have helped us with our campaign, And I think it's been a great experience of both sides, because again, it's you're working, you're gaining experience, you're helping to shape a community, and you know, that's the best experience and best benefit, I guess, that I could mention. So I just think, as mayor, again, you use your ability to be the leader, to be vocal, and you reach out and say, I'm inviting you, please come and help. We, you know, here are the issues, whether it's, you know, things like housing or parking or the environment and sustainability. I mean, all of those things are critical issues facing the city, and we need folks of all ages and of all interests to be involved in that.
Thank you. Next question comes from Mitch Reynolds and goes to Mr. Cabot.
Well, Mr. Farmer brought up the idea of a fire utility, and I know it wasn't your idea, but you mentioned it. As you both know, City of La Crosse, the City Council adopted a fee schedule last year that raised hundreds of thousands of dollars in new fees. We've been told that fees and utilities and the revenues that they create are part of the new reality of city finance. In fact, the League of Municipalities has suggested that as a way to get around, you know, lower revenue sharing and revenue limits and that type of thing. Well, my question for you, it's actually a two-part question. What are the new fees and or utilities that taxpayers are going to see, and which are the ones that you don't find completely reprehensible?
Mr. Cabot.
Well, I think, again, when you're, you know, the fire district has been mentioned, I do think that there are, you look at any service that the city provides, whether it's solid waste or emergency services, public safety, I'm sure there's probably some community somewhere that has found out a way to create a utility or create a way to help fund that. So I do think that there are, there's really, you know, I would say everything is on the table as far as looking at opportunities to fund our services, keep our services first class, because I think we do have great services. We get great value for our dollars that we pay in taxes. And so, you know, the number one goal is to keep those services at a high quality. Obviously, we have huge budget issues, just like every other, you know, public agency or public entity, and you got to look for ways to collaborate. So when it comes to those things like public safety or whatnot, I think sharing resources, working with our neighbors, maybe looking at more regional approaches. I mean, maybe there's opportunities, again, where we could join up with our other neighboring jurisdictions to generate the resources needed to keep our services at the levels that we expect. And as far as the last part of your question, you know, I do think that the fees that I've heard about that I would like to take a review as mayor are some of the fees related to, you know, the home improvements. And one of the issues that I've heard from people knocking on doors is that, you know, they're upset with the fees. Some of it, I think, is just, again, the overall nature of change, and, you know, we don't like the status quo necessarily, but don't change it either. I mean, I think it's some of that. But I would take a look at some of those fees, because I do think that we do not want to create a disincentive for people to upgrade their properties, to create, you know, better value with their homes. And I think that's what we're on the border of that. I think some of those fees are causing that disincentive, and that's something as mayor I would address.
Thank you, Mr. Kemp. Mr. Farmer?
Well, Mitch, I tell you, the largest expense of those fees is the time that the contractor has to take off from the work site, go down to City Hall, arrange for the fee or the permit, and then go back. And sometimes that can involve, because of misunderstanding, 2 to 3 trips. And I, for the life of me, don't understand why we don't collect those fees online. I mean, the big thing I hear is just the time you're paying that contractor as he goes down there to spend 45 minutes to an hour to get that permit. And if that could all be done online, what a wonderful world it would be. And it should be able to be done online. Also, we have not done any kind of study to determine whether some of those fees we even make money collecting. Some of them could be so small, we've never done a study like that, that we are expending more money in terms of staff time collecting them than we're receiving in terms of revenue. And that would be another item that should be looked at. And then in terms of increasing fees, obviously the public outrage is enough, and we don't want to run the risk of noncompliance, which I think would be the next thing to avoid. But I think we could make progress. Originally, when you threw out an appliance, you had to go down to City Hall to buy the little sticker to put on your appliance. And I made it clear after I made two of those trips I was never going to make a third. And I introduced them to the little Visa MasterCard machine, and now you can do that without going down there, and they'll send it to you. But that's a step in the right direction. The next thing is just go online, do it, and be done.
Go ahead. Well, I will just point out, I mean, I know Mr. Farmer's talking about, you know, looking at some of the impacts of those fees and should changes be made. But, again, there was fees enacted back in 2011 of which he was a supporter of at the council level. He did vote for those fee increases at the time. And again, it would have been nice, I think, to have the dialogue and some of that study before those fees were enacted. So the folks, if they don't like the fees, you know, Mr. Farmer is part of the council that did vote to enact those. And again, I think as mayor, we need to take a look at that and see if we can make some changes there.
30 seconds, Mr. Farmer.
I was going to go through my litany that I resigned my council seat because I felt that due to redistricting, I was no longer in my district. I didn't move. My district did, and I felt somebody should be representing my district who was elected from there. So the last round of fees that got the real brouhaha going, I was not there for.
You're listening to a debate between La Crosse mayoral candidates Tim Cabot and Doug Farmer. Voters will choose the city's next mayor on Tuesday. Coming up, part two of this debate held on the UW La Crosse campus this past Monday evening. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum.